From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Religious But Not Regenerate, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 5. I will cut off them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Such persons thought themselves safe because they were with both parties. They went with the followers of Jehovah and bowed at the same time to Malcolm. But duplicity is abominable with God, and hypocrisy his soul hateth. The idolater who distinctly gives himself to his false god has one sin less than he who brings his polluted and detestable sacrifice unto the temple of the Lord, while his heart is with the world and the sins thereof. To hold with a hare and run with the hounds is a dastard's policy. In the common matters of daily life, a double-minded man is despised, but in religion he is loathsome to the last degree. The penalty pronounced in the verse before us is terrible, but it is well deserved. For how should divine justice spare the sinner who knows the right, approves it, and professes to follow it, and all the while loves the evil and gives it dominion in his heart? My soul, search thyself this morning, and see whether thou art guilty of double dealing. Thou professest to be a follower of Jesus. Dost thou truly love him? Is thy heart right with God? Art thou of the family of old Father Honest, or art thou a relative of Mr. Byends? A name to live is of little value, if I be indeed dead in trespasses and sins. To have one foot on the land of truth and another on the sea of falsehood will involve a terrible fall and a total ruin. Christ will be all or nothing. God fills the whole universe, and hence there is no room for another God. If, then, he reigns in my heart, there will be no space for another reigning power. Do I rest alone on Jesus crucified and live alone for him? Is it my desire to do so? Is my heart set upon so doing? If so, blessed be the mighty grace which has led me to salvation. And if not so, O Lord, pardon my sad offense and unite my heart to fear thy name.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Turning to Joshua chapter 7, Dr. Cairns continues to examine the sin of Achan, whose disobedience caused Israel's defeat at Ai and resulted in the deaths of this man and his entire family. In the course of this sobering message, we'll see that although most Christians tend to think of Achan's sin and its consequences as a national tragedy, it also has a very personal aspect. It's a sad fact that many churches have members or regular attenders who give all the appearance of true religion, yet under the facade of piety lies the tragic truth that they have never been born again. The fate that befell Achan is sure to be visited upon these false professors unless there is true repentance and wholehearted embracing of Christ as Savior and Lord. Now to bring the opening portion of this message, Religious but Not Regenerate. Here is Dr. Cairns.
I want to return this morning to the 7th chapter of Joshua, continuing through the book of Joshua, and once again this week in chapter 7. Last week we looked at the very familiar story of the sin of Achan and the terrible results of that sin. We want to look at the passage in a very different way today. We read verse 1 and then 16 to the end. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word. For his name's sake. We tend to think of the story of Achan as a great national tragedy. Achan's sin cost the children of Israel a very necessary victory, and it led immediately to the deaths of 36 Israeli soldiers at the hands of their enemies. It also had a very long-term effect and a very negative effect on the future affairs and battles of Israel. So it was a national tragedy. But it was also very much a personal tragedy. Here we have the ruin of a life and the ruin of a family. The last sight we catch of Achan and of his family is of them as fuel for the furious fire of the wrath of God. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it says our God is a consuming fire. It is truly a tragedy. I think we could go further. It is truly the ultimate tragedy for any man to fall into the hands of the living God and to suffer the wrath of Him who is that consuming fire. To lose health or wealth or home or reputation would be a sore trial to any man. But to lose the soul is the greatest tragedy, the greatest personal tragedy that can ever befall any man. In this day, I realize that men and women tend to think very little of the soul. Many of you may remember Dr. Panosian coming here and doing his brilliant one-man presentations of the great reformers, coming as Martin Luther and then coming as John Calvin. When he dealt with John Calvin, dealing with the great controversy that has arisen over the fact that people suffered capital punishment in the days of the reformers because of open and wicked blasphemy against God. Trying to explain that, he said, as if he were Calvin, in the 20th century, you think everything of the body and very little of the soul. But in the 16th century, we thought everything of the soul and very little of the body. I think that certainly tells a story. I read a modern parable very recently. The parable was that a rich man, a great master, left a little child carefully wrapped in clothes with a servant and told him to tend them while he was gone. After some time, the master came back and he found the servant with the clothes well washed and neatly ironed and set out in a little pile before him. And he said, "Master, there are the clothes. I have tended them carefully. I have washed them. I have kept them. I have ironed them. And there they are." And when the master said, "But where is the child?" He said, "Oh, I don't know. I looked after the clothes, sir, but I lost the child." The moral was that God has given us an immortal soul. Oh, it is wrapped in a body that is a marvel of God's creation, but it is still just the clothing. And so many are tending to the clothing. They look after its health and its welfare, as well they should. It's part of what God has given them to do. But in looking after the clothing, in looking after the body, in looking after its wants and its pleasures, so many have to come to the Master and say, "I have lost the soul." And I tell you that the loss of the soul is an irreversible and eternal loss. For any man to lose his soul is a tragedy. But when that man is an Achan, the tragedy is compounded. For Achan was named among the people of God. Achan's name, and this is why the Holy Spirit is careful to give us his genealogy. Achan's name was in the genealogies of Israel. He was Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. He came from a long line of God's covenant people. He was accepted by the whole gathered company of Israel as being one of their number. But with the name of a child of God, and with the public acceptance that went along with that name, with the reputation of being a child of God, yet he remained a carnal man and an unrenewed sinner, a man who paid the price of his sin. with his immortal soul. That's the aspect of the story of Achan that I want to concentrate upon today. Because as I pondered this passage, the awful realization dawned in my soul that here I'm dealing with a man who was religious but never regenerated. And my mind came out of the ancient histories of Israel into the modern history of our own church. And I thought of people who come and they sit from week to week. And if the truth were known, God would write the name of Achan over many. Religious, but not regenerated. Can I point out to you that Achan had many of the appearances of a child of God, but he remained an unrenewed sinner, an unregenerate man. Here was a man who was born and raised in an Orthodox Jewish home. Here was a man who lived his life, who got married, and who reared his own children, still within the pale of the Orthodox Jewish Church. He was a member of the Jewish nation. He took part in all their wars. He took part in all their works. He shared all their expectations as the promise of God began to unfold before them. He was among those who was circumcised at Gilgal. He partook in that memorable Passover feast at Gilgal. And he marched with the army of Israel and fought against the Amorites of Jericho. But with all that, admitting it all, he still remained a carnal man. Unsaved, unforgiven, unregenerate, and unrenewed. He had all the appearances, but nothing of the inward reality. What a testimony of warning he is to us. The Apostle Paul give us the same warning in Romans chapter 2. At the very end of the chapter, he says in verse 28 and 29, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew that is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. He is not, and we could, I think, bring this up to date, he is not a Christian who is one outwardly. That is not true Christian baptism, which is merely outward in the flesh. He is a Christian who is a Christian inwardly, and he has been truly baptized, who has not only had water administered to him, but has had the baptism by the Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the teaching. So many people nowadays are content to have the appearance. They can tell you when they joined the church. They can tell you when they got baptized in water. They can tell you the aisle that they walked, the decision card that they signed. They can tell you all these things. But when it comes to exposing the heart, so many of these professors have to admit there is no inward reality. There is no new creature. There is no evidence in the soul of God's salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.